We are continuing our sermon series today, Build a Bigger Table. This sermon is focusing on the mission statement that we talked about last fall. Our mission is threefold: to love God, to be a neighbor, and to welcome all to the table. And so last week we came up with a shorthand way of saying this, that we need to build a bigger table. And as part of that service last week, we started with a video about Thanksgiving, because it fit. And so even though it is July, and you know, if you walk outside, it does not feel like the holiday season, I wanted to talk about Christmas this week, because why not? It's July. We only have 6 months left. But in particular, thinking about Christmas, I wanted to talk about an episode of the TV show Ted Lasso that aired a few years ago. If you don't know the TV show Ted Lasso, it is about an American football coach who moves to London to coach a British football team. Or if you're American, that's soccer. But in the middle of season two, they had a good old-fashioned Christmas episode. And in the very beginning, when they are going over their Christmas plans, Higgins, who is an assistant to the owner of the team, this guy, announces that he and his wife every year have all the players who are from far away over for dinner. Of course, he comments at the beginning that only a couple ever show up. Well, later on in the episode, it's clear that quite a few others have made it. Actually, almost the entire team is present, and they have brought dishes from their homes, France and the Netherlands and Mexico and Nigeria and more. It's so much that the Higgins family doesn't have enough room in their house, so they have to build a bigger table in their dining room. And check this out. This table includes all sorts of surfaces, including a surfboard and a pool table.
Hey!
Cheers, darling.
Cheers.
Hey.
You've become quite popular, Leslie. This is by far the most people we've ever had.
Hey! Welcome, guys.
Well, at least we've got plenty of food and drink.
Yeah. But, where are we all going to sit down and eat it?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
But to me, this is so much what the kingdom of God looks like. It is a whole bunch of people who were once far off from one another coming together. And you know what? The community that they form in this episode, it's a little makeshift. They are using what they have. But that is the message of the gospel. Use what you've got. And through the Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ, we will all be made into a living temple of God. So let's hear our scripture now from Ephesians chapter 2. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity and the place of the two, making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him, both of us have access to the one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Well, may God bless this reading. Well, last week we learned a little bit about this letter to the Ephesians, that the letter might have been a form letter sent to many different congregations in the ancient world, outlining the movement of God's grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the message is that God is showing up as God always shows up to select us, creation, for renewal. And so we know that we have an abundance of grace through Jesus Christ. And the question for the church is always, what are we going to do with it? Keep it to ourselves? Build bigger walls so folks can't see it? Or are we going to share the good news with the world by building a bigger table and extending a more extravagant welcome? You know, today we are hearing a little bit more about how God's plan works in practice. You know, the ancient world to which this letter would have been directed was made up of largely two groups of folks. There were Jews, descendants of Abraham, set apart in the original covenant. And these folks were set apart by their religious, by their devotion to the religious laws of Moses, including circumcision, as Ephesians points out. And then there was the other group that made up the ancient world, Gentiles, who the text says today were declared a different people by the Jews as the uncircumcised. And these two groups existed side by side in much of the Mediterranean world, and they often did not get along. There was a history there. There was conflict. It was part religious, part cultural, part historical. But the main point is, these were two separate people. They were two bodies, not one. So we can imagine what this looks like, because we have divisions like this in our world, of course, folks who are not one. In the ancient world, we know that the world was often divided into three different groups. In Galatians, they point to this very directly. When Paul writes, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, he means the world is divided ethnically. There is no longer slave nor free, he means that the world is divided by class status. There is no longer male nor female, he means that the world is divided by gender. And that's how people were divided. In our society, we have the same thing. People are divided by all sorts of things: race, religion, class, gender, sexuality. And they're not just arbitrary categories. There's a history of rights, of the denial of rights, of who has access to the stuff of life. Just like in the ancient world, there were these laws that separated people, so too in our world, we have laws and customs that have created these separate groups. So for instance, we know that in our country, race is a powerful category. We know that slavery separated the races. We know that when slavery was abolished, that several decades of Jim Crow transformed those relationships, but reinforced the separations. That's why you would have drinking fountains that said white only or colored only. That's why you had schools that were segregated. People today, even when that has all ended, are still divided by race in our country. I think it's important to remember that just pretending that those divisions don't exist doesn't actually make them not exist. We also know in our country that sexuality is one of those ways in which we have divided people. We kind of forget today, but being illegal, being gay has been illegal at different times in our country's history. There were official anti-sodomy laws, for instance. There are bans on marriage for folks who are marrying the same gender. And then there's all of the unofficial discrimination that we know has existed in our world. Folks who are gay have been marked as different because of who they love. Unfortunately, the church has not been very good on this. We're often the people who justify these divisions. And even today, many churches continue to be the loudest voices against LGBTQ equality, even as there are churches that proclaim God's love for everyone, regardless of who they share their lives with. But these divisions still exist in the world. Just like in the ancient world, there were divisions that existed enforced by legal system and custom, so too they exist today. And we can't just pretend like they don't exist. They do. And actually, the Ted Lasso episode is a really great way of thinking about this. You know, at that table, there are folks who speak different languages. There are those with different dishes and spices and flavor profiles. There are different feelings about political issues at that table. There are almost certainly different faiths represented, different ideas about who God is. And you know, the folks at that table, when we think about why they're different, we know that it's because of these historical divisions. You know, in the show, these divisions are because of geography. These people don't live near one another, right? If you grew up in one part of the world and you meet somebody from another part of the world, you don't expect them to act the same way, to be the same as you. You expect there to be a little bit of a gap. I would tell you, when I moved to seminary and went from Arizona to Nashville, there was a difference in the customs that we brought with us. So Nigeria isn't close to France or England or Canada, but we can imagine how these differences emerge in this group. When you have been separated from others, whether it's because of historical prejudice or something as benign as geography, then you're going to have to do some work to bring people together, to create community. And so on this soccer team, there are some divisions. But they are drawn by something that binds them together. They are a team, called together for a common purpose. Even though they are different, even though they are far off, they are now at the same table. And they share in the meal together, gathered around the makeshift table. They share what they've got. They bring things that may be unfamiliar to others, but they do so in gratitude. Really, they become a kind of soccer communion. And so we are given the same kinds of tools. What do we have for this work? We don't have a soccer team, unless you all want to put one together. I'd be happy to play. But for us, we have Jesus. He is the cornerstone, as the author of Ephesians writes, the one through whom we understand what is happening. In bringing us back to God through grace, he is also making a way for us to come back together as one people, no longer strangers and aliens, but rather one community, not because of what we can do, but because of what God is doing. We who once were far off are brought back, and Jesus has shown us the way. He has shown us the power of compassion and grace and love when it comes to encountering those who may be different than us. And so if the work of God is really present in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, if there really is the power of reconciliation, of restoring what has been broken, then it's time to find some tables. Push them together. Make room for those who need space. We know that folks will come bringing their own stories. They will bring who they are. They will be different from who we are. And that's okay. Because in Christ, all are unified through the work of God. And through the work of and grace of God, something new will be formed. It may include some makeshift tables. We have a pool table in the basement, by the way. We're already partway there. But we'll be able to work with what it is that we have. And in so many ways, the world needs this. There's something going on in American society right now that sociologists talk about and call the great sort. We as a people are dividing ourselves. It's largely political. Conservatives only associate with conservatives, and liberals only associate with other liberals. And folks who study this are getting kind of worried about it. Recently, the pastor and sociologist Ryan Burge wrote about the Southern Baptist Convention gathering that happened in Indianapolis. And to point to this phenomena in their denomination, he showed that today about 64% of the Southern Baptists identify as conservative. But if you look at the data back into the 1980s, that number was only 40%. With a large portion of people being identified as moderate at the time. So there's been this dramatic shift. The whole Southern Baptist Convention is becoming much more identified with one particular political group. And of course, it's not just conservatives. I can remember in the 2016 election looking up the precinct data from where Amanda and I lived in Portland. Portland, Oregon is, by the way, a city that is known for being, let's just say, left of center on a lot of things. And the data in our neighborhood showed that 81% of people voted for Hillary Clinton. We live in an increasingly divided world where folks only hang out with folks who are like them. And in so many ways, our world has always been divided, but it can be disheartening to think that rather than working to break down barriers that already exist, people are instead creating new divisions in our world. But the power of the gospel, the power of what God is doing in the world, the power of what we are called to participate in throughout life together, that is supposed to break down divisions. And it does it by building a bigger table and extending a welcome to all people, strangers and family, those on the outside and the inside, those who have met before and those who have never had anything to do with one another, all together at a feast that only Jesus could have prepared us for. So how do we do this? We use the tools that God has given us. The compassion and love. We welcome our neighbors no matter who they are. We come with the gift of grace so we know that there might be understandings and that's okay. We can find ways to forgive and love. We can grow together. And in all things, we can remember that it is Christ who is our cornerstone, the one whom, if we put our attention on him, will make it possible for us to grow from many communities into one body. Those who have been far off and those who have been near will once again be together. And I wonder for you all if you've ever been far from community. Have you ever been in a strange and new place where you didn't quite belong? I've had this for a few times in life. Often when I move to a new place, you don't know anybody, and you have that feeling of, oh, how am I going to make friends, community, people who love me? It's actually great being a pastor because y'all are so excited when I got here that there was an extravagant welcome. But one of the events that I think about a lot is when I got to college when I was 18. I made the decision to go to college a little bit away from home. I was 3 hours from home, which in the scheme of things isn't that far, but when you're 18 and don't have a car, might as well be the other side of the planet. And I really didn't know anybody, well, except for this one person that I had met at orientation, Mary. And I can remember Mary showing up to my dorm room and telling me, asking if I wanted to go to a barbecue with her. And I, of course, said yes. What is the worst that could happen going to a freshman orientation barbecue? Well, the barbecue was hosted by the campus ministry center. And so the worst that could happen is that I would fall in with some Lutherans and spend my college time talking about grace. And I got to tell you that I spent 4 years in college being exposed to ideas and individuals that were new, things I had never thought about, kinds of people I had never met. And when I showed up to campus ministry, I was in so many ways alone. I was one of those people who was unlike anybody they had met. And in so many ways, new adventures sound great in theory, and then in practice, you're on a college campus with thousands of people you don't know. But church became the place where I got to know some of them, where I learned about practicing a welcome to those who are strangers. And in all of it, I learned about the love of God and Jesus Christ that is actually enough to reconcile us to God. And because we are all in need of grace, then we can make room for others who are also in need of grace. And so over 4 years in college, people came and people went. The community changed and adapted, making room for those new folks. And I got to see church change, adapt, become unified despite the differences. And for me, this is the power of church, which is the power of Jesus Christ, that we might find out that those who we think are different from us actually aren't all that different. That those we think are far off, who are not like us, are actually more like us than we think. And the table of Christ grows because we recognize that despite our differences, the love of God, Jesus, the cornerstone, can build a table big enough for us all to meet at. And I'm going to tell you the irony of my time as a Lutheran is that I found myself so much more confident in my identity as a disciple. And that's because I believe this is the call of the church, to bring people together in love, to set a table and extend a welcome, to believe that the walls which separate people in our world can be dismantled. In fact, are being dismantled. And that those materials can be turned into a table where all gather in community, bringing what they have to bring together. And so we as a church have the tools we need to do this work. We have what we need to participate in God's plan for this community. All it takes is deciding that we are going to be a community that practices and proclaims the radical welcome of God, which is bringing together folks from all walks of life. Let us pray. But holy God, we give you thanks for this morning, this chance to be together, this chance to be your people, bound together in your love. May we in all things fix our attention on your grace, on your saving work. And may we, as we gather together, become the people whom you call us to be. O holy and gracious God, help us as we extend your welcome to this community. We pray this in your name. Amen.